voice the globalists dread. It's Owen Schroyer.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, debate night here at InfoWars. That's right. Should American patriots still support Trump? Nick Fuentes versus Alex Jones. Tonight, 8 p.m. Central. So 2 hours after we here at the InfoWars War Room sign off, we'll be going back live from the InfoWars World Headquarters in Austin, Texas. And Trump support will be debated by Jones and Fuentes. So tune into that. And then afterwards, we're working on putting together kind of a post-debate coverage, myself and Harrison Smith. He sent me messages about that this morning, so probably have a little post-debate going on as well. So putting in the extra hours here at InfoWars. Thanks to the crew and to your support at thealexjonesstore.com. By the way, we are doing something special for our VIP members right now. Become a VIP by going to thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. But as a bit of a sign of appreciation for our VIP members, we have decided a store-wide buy one, get one free super sale, VIP only. Buy one, get one on all supplements and apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. While supplies last, for VIPs only. Unlock massive savings with our store-wide buy one, get one free super sale happening at thealexjonesstore.com, where VIP members can go score buy one, get one deals on all supplements and apparel to supercharge your wellness and style. By the way, we just got some new apparel there at the site for you to check out as well. This exclusive offer is reserved for our VIP Club Elites, giving you unbeatable value on top quality products that fuel your fight for truth and freedom. You can join the VIP Club today for just $30 a month. Cancel anytime and instantly get $40 in-store credit plus access to this epic sale. Don't miss out. Sign up now and double up on your favorites. Hey, by the way, when you're a VIP member, you also get double entries into our raffles and giveaways. Right now, it is a Jeep Gladiator Rubicon happening. We've just introduced new apparel as well, like the Black on Black, or we're calling it the Blackout InfoWars T-shirt. So kind of the classic InfoWars T-shirt, except this time Black on Black with all of the graphics and logos. So it's all happening right now. A big thank you to our VIP members. Become a VIP member at thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. Okay, let's pick this press conference back up here, and we'll carry it while it's live. Last we were there, Sachs was still speaking, and then I believe Trump is set to sign an executive order on this issue. Let's go back.
You know, kudos to Dr. Oz and Secretary Kennedy for this pledge today. They were able to get 60 major companies across different sectors of the economy to agree to unlock their data so that AI can use it to drive better patient outcomes. And this is, you know, all due to your leadership and President Trump's leadership to put the American people's healthcare needs first. And I remember Dr. Oz, he was one of the first people to call me during the transition when the president announced that I'd be AI czar, because he wanted to ask me about how AI could better be used in healthcare. So kudos to you, Dr. Oz. Your passion's really incredible. And kudos to you, Secretary Kennedy, your passion as well. And I remember a couple of years ago, I was a big fan of Bobby Kennedy when he was running as a Democrat. And I remember thinking,
you gave a lot more money President Trump.
I remember thinking there's this one problem with Bobby Kennedy. He's not a Republican. But thanks to President Trump, I think we fixed that. So, and I think that, you know, getting people like Dr. Oz and Bobby Kennedy into the administration is a testament to President Trump and the talent that he's able to attract,
you know,
and pull together.
As we're up against a break here, we'll pick this back up in the long segment, probably carry it to its conclusion on the other side. I say this with a little tongue-in-cheek, but no, there's a little realness to it. You know, you see all these people running healthcare, government healthcare positions, Canada, these countries, and it's fat, disgusting blobs. You know exactly, fat, like beyond obese, like disgusting-looking freaks telling you about healthcare. You know, I like the guy, give me RFK Jr., who has to get custom-made jackets because his shoulders and biceps are so big. Give me the meathead who needs custom-made suits. I'll take that guy.
Ultimate Fish Oil is not just a supplement, but a statement.
Morning. Morning.
Not only can Ultimate Fish Oil from InfoWarsStore.com help your heart, mind, and joints, but it keeps InfoWars on the air.
Morning. Morning.
Your heart is the engine of your life, and Ultimate Fish Oil is the premium fuel it craves.
Morning.
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 Morning. Ultimate Fish Oil is your cognitive clarity captain. The DHA in this formula is a foundational stone for brain health. Ultimate Fish Oil is your joint health general. The soothing reduction in inflammation ensures you'll feel invincible in the info war. InfoWars has never wavered from its mission, and with Ultimate Fish Oil, neither will you. Step up to the plate, nourish your body, and nourish the fight for a future where the new world order is defeated. Get it now at InfoWarsStore.com.
Of shadows, one man brings the light. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
All right, I believe Trump is about to sign an executive order on AI and sharing information in the healthcare sector. Let's go back live now.
People who could be doing other things. So it's really a testament to the great talent that President Trump always attracts around him. Today's pledge by these companies is going to tear down barriers that allows both startups and established firms to compete freely. We're opening up the playing field so that the best tools can scale, compete on value, and discover new methods for making Americans healthy again. Technologies like AI, they do things like they will expand access to care, cut administrative costs, reduce fraud, and deliver better results for patients and doctors. And I want to thank you, President Trump, for your promise to not only make Americans healthy again, but also to ensure that America is the predominant AI superpower. Just last week, you announced a major AI action plan with hundreds of billions of dollars of new investment in AI infrastructure and also getting red tape out of the way so that we can be the leading country in AI. And it's these life-saving applications that are going to be built on top of all of that infrastructure. So thank you for your leadership in making the United States the number one country in AI.
Dave, thank you.
And now... Dr. Oz,
Mr. President, today we are making American health technology remarkably great again. We've always been at the leadership. David's right. I called him early on after the president offered me the position and him as well. And we began brainstorming on this. Secretary Kennedy from day one appreciated the crisis that we're in and how we needed to address it. So today is a remarkably important day, one that you will remember, I believe, for years to come for three reasons. Yes, it is the 60th birthday of Medicare and Medicaid. The first patient, by the way, was Harry S. Truman. Although Lyndon Johnson signed the legislation 60 years ago today, not far from here. It is not just the ability to bring 60 of the top incumbents and insurgents in health technology, hospital systems, insurance companies, electronic medical record companies, AI companies, the big players, you're all here, and we appreciate that very much. But Mr. President, you used the power to convene. That's fundamentally what I think the president has been able to offer us. And Secretary Kennedy offered us as a group some examples, but there are more to come. And I want to touch on some of these. But first, I've got to do what doctors often have to do, which is to tell you the truth, even if you don't want to hear it. So here goes. These beautiful programs, which are the backbone of the social network, the social support system of this country, the safety net, they're flailing. They're flailing for a bunch of reasons. Medicaid is a unique entity. It has deviated from its original purpose by drift and by design. The One Big Beautiful Bill, the OB3 law, was elegant for that very reason. And President, I don't know if you remember this, I can share this, but he called me once and he was upset at me because I was going too strident at something. And he said, this is about fraud, waste, and abuse. That's what we're interested in doing. And that's exactly what the One Big Beautiful Bill accomplished. And it especially did it to save Medicaid by putting $200 billion more dollars into it and allocating funds very specifically to use to support rural America. And primarily, some of that money will be used to support digital infrastructure, which is terribly lacking in many parts of the country. The money that's sent from Washington doesn't get to rural America. About 7% of Medicaid dollars get to rural hospitals. We now have an ability to infuse funds through this $50 billion Rural Health Transformation Fund into that system. The gathering today is another example of how we can actually jumpstart that and accelerate it. The other reality is COVID broke the system. It did for many reasons. Medicaid expenses went up 50% in 5 years. Medicare, the trust fund that we met at actually Treasury with Secretary Bessent and Secretary Kennedy as trustees, it goes bankrupt in 2033. And that is actually a conservative estimate. It could go bankrupt as early as 2029. Thankfully, due to the economy, that's not going to happen. But
now,
we don't want to have to take that risk.
And I do believe Trump is going to sign this executive order. That's kind of what I'm waiting for here, aside from the commentary we're hearing. They have been saying that about Medicare, Medicaid, and about Social Security for years. And it's really true, but it's basically like the $37 trillion debt or whatever the number is. It's just this number that just hangs out there. It's like, well, nobody ever takes it seriously. It's like, yeah, well, actually, Social Security is about to go broke. And it's like, we'll print more money. We'll infuse more money. So just keep that in mind, because there's some other stories on that exact issue in the news today as well. But let's go back to the White House. Trump going to sign an executive order infusing AI and data sharing into the healthcare industries.
I think there are a lot of realities to how healthcare has gone. Unfortunately, the system is frozen, and it has been for many reasons, despite efforts in the first administration. It's frozen in time, so it cannot address the quality lags that exist. While Netflix and Airbnb and Uber drivers are racing ahead, making arrangements, identifying the problems that are challenging us in healthcare have become incredibly difficult. You can't make appointments. The average Americans are tired. They're tired of waiting for a doctor's appointment. They're tired of waiting for the surprise of what your hospital bill is going to offer. That's being addressed by one of the president's executive orders. They're tired of waiting for access to their medical records. You own your medical records. They're yours. Why you can't have access to them is a stunning reality in modern-day America. They're also tired of waiting for Washington to take action. And this president early on emphatically stated that wasn't going to happen anymore. And today we made that vision into a reality. And there's a fine line between vision and hallucination. What you did today was show it's a vision, because you share it with us and we're moving ahead on it. And that's what today's commitments essentially are reflecting. And they are pledges. They're not laws. They're nimble and they're fast and they're quick, because the president understands that you, each of you in your own way, understand these needs. And Secretary Kennedy spoke beautifully about the reality of what happens when you actually have electronic records, because what he said is happening in Indonesia, we'll have here. Within a year, on your device, and 91% of Medicaid patients have smartphones. On this device, you'll get insights based on your records if you want. You don't have to take this, but if you desire, Amy Gleason is one of the smartest people I've ever worked with, has built a mechanism to be able to get you that information in a way with all these partners helping, so that you can get nudged to pay attention to what you're eating and avoid processed foods that Secretary Kennedy smartly and wisely highlighted as so dangerous to our well-being. All this, by the way, is that will be at the fingertips. In addition, advice about which doctor to see, when to go see them, nudges, reminding you why I didn't do certain things. If you're a doctor like me, it's a very different story. It's to help you navigate the system better. It's giving you advice, decision support, which is becoming increasingly important as medicine gets more difficult. But I'll tell you the best thing of all, how many of you have been with your doctor telling them something heartfelt, very emotional, and they're looking to the side, typing into their computer, right? It's common. Put your hands up. I just want to see it. Yeah, most everybody. And that's unfortunate, because the whole sacrament, the whole covenant of being with the doctor is having them look you in the eyes and realize you're there for each other. That process is going to go away. We will, within the workflow of doctors, be able, with your help, allow physicians to take care of patients, gather the information while they're doing it, and will destroy the upcoding that has hurt Medicare Advantage and other programs alike in a similar fashion. The IT infrastructure that's going to change promises to improve a lot of things. We're going to cut fraud, waste, and abuse. Mr. President, we announced with the DOJ 2 weeks ago a $15 billion bust. $15 billion, it's a multinational criminal syndicate based primarily, we believe, in the Soviet Union, in Russia. And what they did was hack using beneficiary numbers into the system. We'll be able to stop that because of a system that Amy has put together and the wonderful work of Amy Brandt, who has a fraud war room using this kind of technology, because we'll know who you are and who your doctor is. We can block this. We're going to have remarkable advances in how consumers can use their own records. We'll have beneficiaries be able to get MAHA advice and prevention tips and even be able to nudge them and reward them perhaps for that. And all this comes back to one fundamental issue, Mr. President, which is leadership.
Nudge and reward them.
I think 60 people.
By the way, as they're talking here, what is it called? There's a new app. I mean, I kind of like it. It's an interesting idea. There's a new app where you can bet on yourself to lose weight. So you basically make a bet on this app, and you say, I'm going to lose whatever, 40 pounds by next year or something. And then you get to go check on that bet in a year, and if you did it, it pays out the bet. I forget the name of the app. It just came out. So it sounds like they're kind of instituting a similar idea here. It's like, oh, maybe, you know, you do something good for your health, you get a kickback. Well, how about you just do something good for your health because it's good for your health? The Healthy Wager app. Get paid to lose weight. You know, part of me looks at that as like a really dark thing. Because it's like, I mean, if you think about it, they're basically betting that fatties aren't going to lose the weight. They're basically sitting here saying, we're going to make a bunch of money because people are going to bet on themselves to lose weight and they're not going to do it. So let's scam these fatties. Or maybe just out of the goodness of their heart, they hope that they have to just pay a bunch of money to lose weight. I mean, where's your business model here? So you're betting that fatties are going to pay you a bunch of money because they're too lazy to lose weight is what you're doing. So it's like from that aspect of it, I'm like, this is actually really dark. But then on the other side, hey, if it works and they're just out of the goodness of their heart, like, let's help motivate people to lose weight. Maybe they can make money selling products in there. Maybe that's the bottom line. But so I guess we're trying to find ways to institute this into the government as well. So, you know, it's just, it gets to a point where you're talking about big government again. So it kind of just turns me off. So I get it, and I don't have to deal, you know, I mean, knock on wood, I don't go to the hospitals, I don't deal with medical problems because I take care of myself, but so maybe it is really bad. I mean, the couple times where I've had to deal with a doctor, I mean, it's bad. A couple of times where I've had to deal with the medical institutions, industries, it is a nightmare. That's why I never do. But you see what's going on here. It's just everything being funneled into centralized data banks and processing. Everything being funneled into AI. Everything. All right, let's go back live.
Manual situations. But today, thanks to President Trump, we're changing that. Over 15 years, we've tried to regulate our way to a better outcome. And we have gotten a path forward. But they have not delivered the modern healthcare experience that Americans expect and deserve. I'm so proud today that these 60 companies have voluntarily stepped forward to make a pledge to take action and to join us to say, we're ready. Let's fix this. We're in. We're trying something different. It's not regulation or rulemaking. This is a voluntary alignment around a shared vision, a commitment to work across boundaries, across competitors, and across silos. We're bringing together data sharing networks, electronic medical records, doctors, health systems, payers, and app developers. And we're asking one simple question. What can we do right now to make this work for patients? The companies pledging today are agreeing to collaborate, even with their direct competitors, because they know we can't keep kicking the can down the road. We have to stop talking about data interoperability and make the data flow. Here's something important. Not all patients will want these tools. Some will rely on their caregivers, and others will rely on their doctors, so they don't have to carry it themselves. But no matter how people engage, we must make sure it works for everyone. CMS is doing its part. We're clearing the path for innovation by building the long overdue National Provider Directory, a kind of digital map for healthcare.
You know, what do they say? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. I just can't help but think where this is all going. And the movie Idiocracy, Justin Long is playing the doctor, and he's, you know, basically an illiterate. But, you know, he's the doctor because everything's on the AI, everything's on the computer. So you really don't have to know anything. The computer runs everything. So it's technology can be good or bad. And I'd like to see the issue is it really relies on the people. When you talk about health decision, it relies on the people. People are either going to make good health decisions or they're not. And I guess the idea is if we give them the resources to make good health decisions, then that will take stress off of the medical industry, the healthcare industry that is totally under stress and burden right now because of all the chronic diseases. And so it's like, if you're trying to get to the root of it and you're saying, look, we got all this chronic disease, we got all these people unhealthy, different mental health problems, physical health problems. We're identifying the root causes of this. Bad diet, lack of exercise. So now, okay, well, what's the solution? Well, we can bring good God. Jeez, I'm sorry if you're listening. The crew, I don't know what this is, okay? They've got people on the screen here that are so fat that they use their guts as a table. I don't think an app is going to help that lady. I think a chainsaw might be the only option. That honestly, that's sad. That's just sad. That's got to be a miserable life. I can't even imagine that. Good God. Guys, I have to ask, can you just not, I can't, with that on the screen, I can't even, that's like modern Marvel stuff. That's like Ripley's Believe It or Not stuff. I can't, wow. How do you even get to that point? So RFK Jr., Make America Healthy Again, they say, here are the root causes of all the health problems. So, yeah, you have the whole entire medical healthcare industry under stress because all these people are sick. So address the root causes, bad diet, lack of exercise, find a way to promote healthy behavior internally, and then you can have people that are healthy. I mean, I would guess that my crew here, which is mostly healthy guys, probably right in ideal age and shape, and probably never, between the whole crew here, most in their 30s, maybe, I mean, how often does anybody ever go to a hospital here? Zero? Does this crew put any stress on the healthcare system at all? All right, so Trump is speaking now. So it's like, I get where they're going, but it's like, we already have a problem with not enough doctors. We already have a problem where we need more doctors. Now are you going to start having dumber doctors and the whole thing is going to be relying on AI? And it's just like, oh my gosh. We're going into idiocracy. All right, let's go to President Trump.
I even see Newt. Do I see Newt? See Newt. Right. Look at him. He's such a handsome man. He's a healthy man. We don't have to do any tests on him. But good to see you, Newt. But I just want to thank everybody. This is a very big undertaking, and it's a very serious undertaking. It's going to make a lot of people lead a much better life. Thank you all very much for coming. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Can I call you about MFN?
Yeah.
Well, I give him credit for this. They're trying something different. I give him credit for this. And, you know, I'll remain skeptical about centralizing all the data and turning everything over to AI. We'll remain with a healthy skepticism of that. But you know what? I'll give him credit. They're trying something different. And I see the bigger picture, trying to address the root causes and then take the stress off of the healthcare institutions so that they're not so overwhelmed and then really... Because really what you would like to see is you'd like to see a situation where really people are just going to the hospital when it's an emergency. You need stitches, broken leg, whatever, you know, traumatic surgery. But like, oh, the mental health and like, oh, the chronic disease and the obesity and everything that comes along with it. It's just basic physical maintenance. But how do you, if a person isn't motivated to do that on their own, then you think a government app is going to change that? Oh, we'll find a way to give them kickbacks and stuff. Well, again, it all comes down to a person. So, but I don't know, maybe there is a portion of Americans that just do not realize they're making bad health decisions. They just don't know it. They just assume, oh, hey, if they're going to put their cereal on the shelves, then it must be fine. They don't know about red dyes or all the other artificial ingredients or loaded up on processed sugars. So I'll give them credit. They're trying something different. We'll see if it works. They'll get attacked for it. I'll remain skeptical of the AI, but you know what? They're trying something different. So you got to give them credit there. All right. You know what? We still got some geopolitical news to get to here. And then some of these other headlines. We'll cover the EPA headlines coming up here, too. But there's more on AI, and then I want to get back to this idea of, you know, Medicaid, Medicare going broke. The whole system is broke. You're $37 trillion in debt. The whole thing is broke. But this is what I've been talking about and why I hope they're not putting the cart before the horse here. AI in Wyoming may soon use more electricity than state's human residents. So I've been preaching this for months about how you have to increase your energy capabilities immediately if you want to become the AI leader in the world. If we get out ahead of this and we do the actual AI before the energy, then it's going to collapse. So, you got to start building nuclear power like yesterday. Okay? You got to. And I'd be calling every coal-powered company, every company that does coal, and I'd call and I'd say, hey, what can we do? What can we do? Can we double output in 6 months? Can we quadruple output in a year? What can we do? We need the energy. How long will it take to build a nuclear facility to power this AI? If you start to turn on the AI and all this data processing, you know, they do all these freakouts. It's like, oh, it's hot, turn off your AC. Oh, it's cold, turn off your heat. And most of that is just synthetic, like you've never dealt with hot weather or cold weather. Most of that is just kind of synthetic fear-mongering over fake climate change. No. You'll have a real situation if they flip on all of this AI data processing and they don't start building power plants to handle it, then you actually will see power grid problems. And it won't be some selective thing they do in California where they just say, we're going to do rolling blackouts. That's part of our green initiative here. No, they'll be like, we have to turn the power off. We have to keep the AI systems going. Because what do you think they're going to do when all these AI systems have all the government information on them? When the whole government is turned into these AI data processing farms and everybody's information is sitting in these data farms, they can't turn it off. So what do you think is going to happen? Well, the power grid is short on power. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to shut the consumer's power off. We're going to shut the residents' power off because we have to keep the government AI systems running. So you got to, honestly, they got to start. There's only so much you can do overnight when it comes to oil. But coal, you got to get coal going fast. You can't get enough coal right now, as far as I can tell. And then while you're trying to develop these nuclear power plants, I'd call every coal mining operation, every coal power, and I'd say, what can we do? Let's double in 6 months. What can we do for you? We got to do this now. So that's just an idea. That's Wyoming. But if they start building this stuff in California and they start building this stuff in Texas, New York, oh, yeah, they'll just start telling you, we're shutting off the power. Say, why? Well, the government AI processing facilities are here, so we have to keep those powered up because if they turn off, the whole system shuts down. You see? So centralizing anything has its pitfalls. But if we run into this AI thing and we don't have the power behind it, we're going to have big problems.
I need support. We are maxed out, and I can do so much more in offense, guaranteed beat them even faster in court, and got this other stuff going on. I'll leave it that with the Justice Department, the good guys coming in, and the task force on weaponization, that I need funds. So I need you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, subscribe as your monthly donation for $30 a month as a VIP, and know you're doing that bare minimum of support, cancel any time. Not a very hard commitment. You just do it month to month. You charge $30. You're a VIP, and when you want a T-shirt or you want a supplement, you get it because it'll just build up in your account. $40 to spend in the store. You spend $30, you get $40 automatic discounts on everything, special sales, special offers. I'm asking everyone to commit who's never supported the broadcast by buying anything to become a VIP today at thealexjonesstore.com. And then you know you're doing the monthly support. Ever have an issue, don't want to do it, cancel. It's one click, it's your profile. But by being a VIP, you get massive discounts, special offers, and so much more at thealexjonesword.com. And it's a way to show your support. We need your backing. I am 100% dauntless. If anything, I get overheated because I've got so much energy and I'm so angry at these people and it bleeds off into my life. I need your backing. I'm backing you. Quite frankly, if you don't back me and my crew, what we're doing, you're nuts. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying you're crazy. Evil hates this transmission. We've got their number. And if you don't back the organizations fighting with everything they've got for you, because we're all in this together, well, you've rolled over. You've run up the white flag, quite frankly. And that's what this is. People ask, man, thanks for fighting. Thanks for never giving up. Wow, why does it break your spirit? It intensifies my spirit. To know we're up against pure evil and we're turning the tide and we're winning. And then to know that if we don't fight hard, they're going to win and commit humanity to a nightmare of evil. You think stuff's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. Thank me for fighting for my own future and yours collectively? There's not even a question of fighting these people. Look at them. They've got to be opposed. People tend to think being persecuted is oh, you want to stay away from that. Oh, so you want to stay away from the fight. No, it's like John Paul Jones said when he got commissioned as the head of the U.S. Navy right when it was starting, and he was writing to the Continental Congress. He said, I only want the fastest ships. I only want to be sent into the main war zones in direct action. They said, here, it's our fastest ship. Go out. He immediately goes out and engages and takes over all these British ships 2-3 times the size, just ramming straight into them. Well, that's what I want to do. I only want the fastest ships. I want to go directly into action. I want to go 24 hours a day. I want reporters all over the country. I want to be 50 times stronger against the enemy. I want 50 times the audience. I want victory. You think what we've done to the enemy's been effective so far? It's nothing. I have not yet begun to fight. So support yourself. Support us. Do it. Or be conscious that you didn't fight when the time was right. You hesitated. You took this as another entertainment venue, to some other show. Just more talk. This ain't talk. This is the targeting coordinates to take down the enemy. This is the Death Star plans. This is Sting, the Goblin Slayer. They hate this blade. This operation is a sword that is plunged politically, culturally, spiritually into the hearts of our enemies over and over and over again. They hate it. It's a standard of their defeat. It's a symbol of their weakness. That's what we're doing here. This is serious business. So I'm coming to you, asking you to continue to commission us in this fight. We've already delivered you more victories against the enemy than any other media operation in the world. And I'm asking you again, for all of our collective futures, to come to our aid now more and take your fight to the 110% level. Tell the truth. Be accurate. Stand against evil. Have courage. Until it's not even having courage, it's what you are.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Warning.
This broadcast
is not for the
weak-minded.
It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
I think the best science fiction cinema representation of AI is? You think it's the Terminator? You think it's iRobot? You think it's Space Odyssey? You think it's... What was the follow-up to Alien Prometheus? I forget the name of it. The one after that. Covenant. Yeah, yeah. What about in Covenant, maybe? But the story is the same. The AI starts to think for itself, develop its own ideas, make its own decisions, and ultimately separate itself from the humans. So, you know, Sam Altman, Elon Musk calls him Scam Altman. You know, he's saying some interesting things about AI. He now says he wants a doomsday bunker. Sam Altman's doomsday bunker confession is OpenAI CEO fears bombs dropping. Well, is that because humans are going to decide it's time, or maybe something else is going to decide it's time? Do you think you'll have will it be run by AI in there? Or is he going to go to something with something a little more old-fashioned? Now, you heard, I think it was Dr. Oz, talk about Medicare, Medicaid going broke. I've been hearing about this. It always makes its way into the headlines. Oh, Social Security is going broke, and they've had to extend these programs probably a dozen times, or it's going to go broke, and then they find a way to extend and extend and extend. So it's the same game. You couldn't get more credit if you were $37 trillion in debt, but you know the U.S. government can get as much credit as they want, and they can continue to rack up debt as they're paying $1 trillion now annually just on the debt alone. Now, one individual who's really good at communicating this is Byron Donald. Trump has backdoor to privatizing Social Security. Now, they could be thinking about tying all of this into crypto as they're mainstreaming that, buying up all this crypto. Scott Bessent, President Trump's Treasury Secretary, said at a Breitbart event Wednesday that the Trump accounts created by the Big Beautiful Bill are a backdoor to privatizing Social Security. Trump accounts included in the president's massive tax and spending package consist of a one-time deposit of $1,000 from the federal government for all children born in the United States from 2025 to 2028. Parents and others will be able to contribute up to $5,000 per year till the child turns 18. By the way, this idea actually was a Hillary Clinton idea years ago, and the Republicans hated it, just for the record. Now, it's great. We want you to understand it, said Bessent, referencing the accounts. I'm not sure when the distribution date should be, whether it's 30 and you can buy a house, should it be 60, but in a way, it's a backdoor for privatizing Social Security. Critics have warned that after the beneficiary of the account turns 18, it will then adhere to IRA rules, meaning savers will need to pay a tax on penalty on withdrawals before aged 59 and a half. Oh, more taxes. Yeah. Now, again, Byron Donalds is really smart with this stuff, really good on financial discussions. And the way he explained it, I think it was to Maria Bartiromo some time ago, but he's done multiple interviews on this and debates on this about privatizing Social Security. And basically, the concept is when you leave your money stagnant in a bank, let's say, your money is losing its value. And so Donalds argues that we should be privatizing Social Security. We should be privatizing Medicare and Medicaid. And it would be more beneficial to the beneficiary to have it that way, because instead of just cash losing value, you can actually have it go up in value or actually get a return, like an interest rate. So there is some purpose behind this. Now, you're going to have a debate over whether or not the one-time deposit of $1,000 for all children born in the U.S. is a good idea or not. Again, that was a Democrat idea years ago. Now, the Republicans hated it, and now they love it. So it's like they're trying new things, but everything is going towards more government, bigger government, instead of smaller government, less government, which is what true conservatism is about, at least in my view, smaller government. That's what we should be fighting for, smaller government. And we're doing it in the EPA, though. I will say that. Massive changes happening with the EPA. I mean, it's just headline after headline. Lee Zeldin's EPA liberates American industry. They are just slashing into all the Obama, Democrat, Green New scams. In game-changing climate rollback, EPA aims to kill a bedrock scientific finding. So they're basically going right to the foundation of the man-made climate change arguments and saying it's a lie. It's a lie. Carbon emissions, more or less, are not causing these issues like they claim. All the claims, the results that they said would have happened by the year 2025, none of them have come true. And so they're basically just going right to the core of this issue and saying it was always a lie. The fundamental lies the theory of man-made climate change have been built off of are all dead. So we're rolling back every single regulation that was based off of these lies. EPA releases proposal to rescind Obama-era endangerment finding regulations that paved the way for electric vehicle mandates. In other words, they looked at the science. Yep, you're not really making much of a difference whether you're driving an electric vehicle or a gas-powered vehicle. Their studies were wrong. Drive whatever you want. Trump moves to scrap climate change rule, tying greenhouse gases to public health harm. That was a big buzzword in the early 2000s, was greenhouse gases. But it's more of the mythology that people like Al Gore started building up. The hole in the ozone, acid rain, global freezing, all of these lies, they never came true. So they constantly have to change the wording, change the initiative, keep pivoting, and hope people just can't even keep up. So then it was, for a minute, it was greenhouse gases. That was like right after the ozone, which is back. The ozone holes are repairing themselves, so it's probably just stuff that happens in time. You know, it really should be a bigger story. It's like one of those things we all knew was a lie, so when it comes out, it was a total lie, and they admit it was a total lie, and then they show you it was a total lie, you're just like, well, yeah, I knew it was a total lie. They reshaped many sectors of the economy based off of this. They caused energy prices to skyrocket because of this. They wanted us to remake, to reconsider the entire way we live life on planet Earth because of these lies. And it's kind of just happening. It's like a silent whisper. It's like, hey, they lied to us. The entire man-made climate change, global warming initiative was all based on lies. Yes, they wanted to reshape human life on planet Earth. Yes, they wanted population control. Yes, they wanted to ration your life from birth till death. They wanted a global government to do this. Because it was a global problem of the global climate, and the whole thing was a lie. I mean, I think Lee Zeldin probably right now is the top of the class when it comes to the Trump administration. It's like the only sector where there's been nothing negative to come out of it. I mean, this should be celebrated. We should be taking victory laps. We should be shoving this in the face of the radical left and the globalists that wanted to use this to conquer our planet. I mean, this is huge. So you got all of these different groups, and people always want to focus on one group or the other and say it's all about this or it's all about that, like it's all about Israel or it's all about China or it's all about this other group, whatever. No, there's a lot of different groups struggling for power. And then there's kind of a consortium of groups that just want to have a global government and centralized governance. And they use things like man-made climate change or a pandemic to do it. Because, oh, it's a world problem. It's not a local problem. It's not a state problem. It's not a nation problem. It's a global thing, a pandemic. It's a global thing, climate change. So we need to establish a global governance. And then they tell you, well, you're killing the planet by existing, so we have to do something about that. No, Trump has struck at the heart of this since his first administration. And now they're just tearing it down. So you're going to, as it continues, it's going to be so much easier to access energy. It's going to be so much easier to innovate in energy. So we're not even just talking about the lies of global warming that they tried to influence a global government with. We're talking about even getting access to energy here. So this is really huge. And as a little petty thing, do you deal with the start-stop engine? Is it not the most obnoxious thing since the seatbelt thing? It's got to be the most obnoxious thing. You stop your car, you're sitting in a light, your car stops, turns off, who knows? The whole thing is just a mess. And this is all an Obama-era regulation because apparently stopping and starting your engine is better for the environment, which is debatable anyway. It's horrible for your engine. That's not debatable. It's just awful for your engine. The wear and tear, everything else. So I guess, you know, maybe the automakers are like, well, we build these cars, they go like 250,000 miles. But if their engine is starting and stopping every time they're at a light, boy, you know, we're probably shortening the lifespan of these vehicles down to like 100,000. And they'll have to buy more cars. Yeah. Yeah, you know, isn't this such a perfect illustration? The crew is playing all these different videos. Just Stop Oil and all these other groups. I mean, folks, they glue themselves to the streets. They jump in front of cars, and it's so sad with the left. And this isn't trying to even do the separate the left and the right. But, I mean, the right will fall for lies and propaganda. I mean, yeah, okay. No, the left lives in a world of lies and propaganda. The leftist will literally, this actually happened. They will super glue their breasts to the streets off of completely fabricated ideas, like man-made climate change. I've seen them put their arms and legs into pipes, plastic pipes, and then put quick-drying cement in there so that they can cement themselves to streets and sidewalks. They get in front of cars. They stand on racetracks, cars going at 100 miles an hour. They destroy great works of art. They disrupt sporting events. And you just sit here and you're like, you know, your entire movement is based off of lies. Your entire movement is based off of lies. And they want to turn you into a slave in the name of man-made climate change. This is what they want to do. They want to turn you into, you're a prisoner on this planet now. Everything is rationed. Oh, I'm saving the planet. Oh, look at me. They're getting dragged out by law enforcement. Start, stop engines. Thank you. Good riddance. Good riddance. And Zeldin talked about doing that as early as May, and now they finally are tackling it. No, I got to say, Trump, when it comes to dealing with the climate change and the EPA and Lee Zeldin, that's like the strongest work. That's some of the strongest work they've done, undeniable. I mean, all of the stuff from the first administration and stuff continuing here, I mean, they have struck a dagger into the heart of the man-made climate change agenda. A dagger into the heart, folks. And that doesn't mean we don't care about the environment. We do care about the environment, actually. I'd like to see, in fact, I would like to see more laws and regulations dealing with littering, to be quite honest with you. Why is the crew reacting to that? I hear the crew grumbling behind me. What are you guys, a bunch of, you guys trash your communities back there? Like, I'll go do a run at a park or something, and it's just trash littered everywhere. I'm like, who are these heathens? And I got friends that do this too. I give them a hard time. They throw their cigarette butts out their car windows. You're disgusting. You know, I don't care if you want to smoke a cigarette. But people throwing cigarettes out their car window, I mean, what do you, it's just lazy. It's like, that's the kind of stuff that I can get behind. It's like, that's the kind of stuff you can do. Yeah, that's a conservative thing. Hey, let's not throw trash out our car windows. And yes, if you're somebody that does that, listen to this. I am talking to you. Stop it. You know that's gross. You know that's gross. So it's like climate or like environment action like that. It's like, yeah, let's have some. But see, but that's just having a sense of pride. It's like you wouldn't go home and throw a cigarette butt out on your kitchen floor, would you? I don't know. Maybe you would. No, EPA, Lee Zeldin, Trump on this, they've done great work. And they are really taking us out of the grip of the man-made climate change agenda, truly. And they're just tearing down the entire structure that they were trying to build around us and trap us in the name of this. Yeah, we're talking about making you eat bugs. we're talking about telling you you can't have a gas-powered car, a gas-powered lawnmower. I mean, you name it. We're talking about that. They are taking it all down. So on that deal, that's an A. And they continue to win on that. But I guess it's not sexy, so it doesn't really get the headlines. And people are distracted with other things going on. There's wars all over the planet. Deep state infighting. No. The Trump administration, for the second straight time, is really getting us out of the grips of the man-made climate agenda. That is definitely happening. So I applaud them for that. Some other big developments today. New Texas redistricting plan could achieve Trump's aims. One Texas redistricting map shows Lubbock, San Antonio, and same district. So they're complaining about this redistricting. And, I mean, look, you can look at some of this stuff and say, well, that's an odd shape. But at least there is a bit of a pattern to it now. It's not like they have these nonsensical where you can clearly see gerrymandering is going on. Now, did the Republicans maybe make some measurements to get some good results? Maybe. So I'm not going to sit here and act like Republicans couldn't gerrymander a deal as well here. But when you look at the redistricting, at least there's a pattern to the way they have this thing mapped out. Whereas the old one, it was just clear. It was like they were counting numbers and votes and just seeing how they could shape things so that Democrats would win elections and win House seats. So you see the headlines now. Democrat poll warns GOP redistricting could cost Republicans up to 7 points in competitive seats. No, it's the exact opposite. They really think this will probably flip at about 5 seats in favor of Republicans. And I would say that's the case. If you did this in 50 states, if you started redistricting in all 50 states, whenever the Republicans get the chance, the Democrats would never win the House ever again. They never would. And I don't want to go through this exercise of showing you how they do it, but they know, the Democrats know, we don't need 80% of the votes in the major metropolitan areas. We don't need 80% of the votes in the downtown areas. All we need is 51. So they siphon off 6% here, 7% there, 8% over here, however much they need into the red areas, and then they flip it. And so all they've done here in Texas is they've just reversed that, and they've just said, no, we're not doing that. We're going to have maps that actually have some semblance of a pattern to them. This could save the House. That's how big this is. This could save the House from flipping. So I hope other Republicans take note here, especially if they see that it's successful, which I imagine it will be. So that's some big news, too. So if you thought maybe the Iran strikes or the Israel issue or the Epstein list could cost Republicans the House, redistricting, stopping the Democrat gerrymandering could be the thing that saves it. Could be the thing that stops the Democrats from flipping the House in the midterms, which most people agreed that they were on pace to do. So that's good. All right. I've lost my show clock here, guys. Can you tell me what we have left in the segment, please? Okay. Okay, thank you. All right. By the way, here, let me mention this in Texas, and we'll start to move on. The state-sponsored child abuse Texas Education 911 report just comes out. Folks, this thing is wild. Few educators become offenders, but opportunistic predators always seek access to kids. Will Texas close loopholes, hold them accountable, and deter them from employment in the school system? They found thousands of cases. TexasEd911.com. You can find this report. They found thousands of cases of child abuse, and the majority of them did not even get investigated to the degree which you would assume they're being investigated with. So they essentially are trying to cover this stuff up, is what's going on. They're trying to cover it up. Wild stuff going on out there. But who could be surprised when your teacher shows up with rainbow hair and 10 nostril piercings and says, "Let me tell you about gay sex. Let me tell you about my pride flag." I thought this was a math class. Yeah. Let me tell you about math. Yeah. Oh, really? You're surprised about all the child sex abuse cases? And of course they don't want to tell you what's going on. Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean we had drag queen story time and they stripped for children? Oh my gosh, well that's a bad look, so let's just bury that. Oh, you mean the teacher at the school with the gay pride flag is telling kids about where they like to put their wee-wee? Oh, wow, we don't want that report getting out. So, absolutely stunning stuff there. All right, as we close out the second hour here of the InfoWars War Room, folks, it's debate night. It is debate night tonight. Should American patriots still support Donald Trump? Nick Fuentes versus Alex Jones. We'll be hosting it right here in the InfoWars World Headquarters in Austin, Texas. Live feed starts at 8 p.m. Central, InfoWars.com/show. We'll be broadcasting it on X as well, at Real Alex Jones. So make sure to follow that. Going to be, I imagine, highly entertaining and informative, looking at two perspectives on the issue here. And then I wouldn't be surprised if maybe InfoWars collaborates for some post-debate coverage just to keep the fun going, because why not? But tune in tonight, InfoWars.com/show or at Real Alex Jones on X. And of course, this is all made possible with your support at thealexjonesstore.com. We have a big thing happening right now to thank our VIP members, but this is for VIP members only. Become a VIP member at thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. Buy one, get one free on all supplements and all apparel while supplies last right now. VIP only. VIP only sale. We want to show a little extra love and appreciation for our VIPs. So this buy one, get one free extravaganza is for the VIPs only. But anybody can go become a VIP right now at thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. Or go to thealexjonesstore.com, do some browsing, and figure out for yourself why you want to become the VIP member. Other benefits include multiple bonus entries into our raffles and giveaways happening right now.
So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former K-6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on Paratrooper. And he wanted to try methylene blue like so many other guests have done live on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting to ever get him to take it on air. All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great, to fog lifting, to just over the top crying and feel so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical in the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended, I forgot to do this. He's like, "Hey, are we doing methylene blue?" So he's going to take it now. But guys, don't forget when he's on Owen, to maybe if he forgets before he's going to go off, to then tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like out of 300 plus people we've given it to, two people did not feel it. That means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes. It starts peaking after a couple hours. But you're going to be on Owen. So please, before you go, just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now? Now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, right. I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to get.
I think it's methylene blue.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.